Hello, this is Janice Schweizer returning today on March 17th, 2020 with the Pantograph. I will begin by reading the death notices on page A5. Betty Ward Augsburger, 96 of Normal, passed away peacefully on Sunday, March 15th, 2020 at Heritage Health in Normal. A private family service will be held at Kibler Brady Restman Memorial Home in Bloomington, with interment to follow at Bloomington Grove Cemetery. A celebration of life will be scheduled for a future date. Tony William Higgins, 58, of Normal, formerly of Chenoa, died at 5:55 p.m. Friday, March 13, 2020, at his residence in Normal. His graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at Calvary Cemetery in Chenoa. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at Duffy Pills Memorial Home in Chenoa. The family suggests memorials be given to the charity of the donor's choice. Eldon L. Hobart, 93, of rural Delavan, passed away at 2:30 p.m. Sunday, March 15, 2020, at Hopedale Nursing Home. His funeral will be at 11 a.m. Friday at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Emden. Pastor John Schurter will officiate. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. before the service at the church. Burial will be at Hartsburg Union Cemetery with military honors by the Emden American Legion. Memorials may be made to St. Peter's Lutheran Church or to Camp Gresham. Linda A. Morton, 85, of Bloomington, passed away on Thursday, March 12, 2020, at the Villas of Hollybrook in Bloomington. A graveside service will be at 1:30 p.m. Tuesday at Park Hill Cemetery in Bloomington, with Pastor Aaron Stein officiating. There will be no visitation. A celebration of life will be at a later date. Karen E. Wilburn, 36, of Bloomington, passed away March 8, 2020, at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. A celebration of life will be from noon to 6 p.m. Sunday at Comfort Inn Suites in Bloomington. Cremation rites have been accorded. Next, we'll start with some sports. SPAC pulls plug on spring practice. ISU coach says bigger things at stake than football, by Randy Reinhardt. Illinois State football coach Brock Spack had planned to initiate an extended on-field analysis of young quarterbacks Bryce Jefferson and Jack Baltz to better determine if they will be ready to challenge returning starter Brady Davis in the fall. That will not happen. Spack had hoped to give numerous practice repetitions to redshirt freshman tailbacks Falik Brown, Nigel White, and Cole Muller to see if just maybe the next James Robinson would begin to emerge. That will have to wait. The Redbirds were anxious to witness Tennessee transfer linebacker Shannon Reed in action to judge how he might fit into the ISU defense. Nope. SPAC announced Monday that ISU's entire spring session of practices has been canceled due to the coronavirus outbreak. It's my decision. I think it's the right one, SPAC said on Monday. The health, safety, and well-being of our players, staff, families, and local community is our top priority. Having our players in close contact at practice is not safe at this time for any involved. While we are disappointed in not being able to have this time to work with our players and aid in their development, we realize there are bigger things than football at stake here. ISU's first practice was originally scheduled for March 15th. That was pushed back to March 23rd before being canceled entirely. This is unprecedented, said SPAC. We will try to prevent the spread of it so we can play next fall. We hope we can get things started in the summer. Among SPAC's immediate concerns are members of his team who are at risk academically and making sure they get what they need. It's hard to do from a distance. The Redbirds will have normal meeting times online through various means of communication. ISU is sending individual workout regimens to its players. SPAC is targeting June 1st to reassemble his team. But even if that occurs, adjustments will be necessary. You can't just put a whole spring practice in the summer and lift weights and go back to school, said the ISU coach. You have to be very careful. You don't want to have overuse injuries. Players would pay the price for putting too much strain on their bodies. SPAC is dismayed the Missouri Valley Football Conference has not placed a blanket ban on spring practices. Missouri State is planning to proceed with drills, according to SPAC, and restrictions on activity have been far less stringent in North Dakota, where North Dakota State and North Dakota are Valley members. We'll communicate with our players as much as we can, said SPAC. We don't have anybody to coach. It's hard. Maybe I can fish more now. Heartland Seasons Ended by NJCAA by Randy Kindred. Hopes of resuming their seasons ended Monday for the Heartland Community College baseball and softball teams when the National Junior College Athletic Association announced it has canceled spring sports for the remainder of the school years because of concern over the coronavirus. On Friday, the Midwest Athletic Conference athletic directors had voted unanimously to suspend play until April 3rd, the date the NJCAA also had set. The national organization extended it through the entire season on Monday. We were certainly worried this could happen, Heartland Athletic Director Ryan Knox said. The AD's group was trying to be proactive in an effort to save our season or just have some kind of respite of more data, with the thought that it could probably be out of our hands at some point. We know that the kids and we knew what was at stake. There are so many more questions now. The cancellation includes all practices, regular season and postseason games. The Heartland Fitness and Recreation Center, FRC, also will remain closed until further notice. Students will continue their academic year at Heartland as it moves the majority of courses online. The NJCAA issued a statement saying no spring sport. Student athlete enrolled at a member college in 2020 will be charged a year of participation. While that is good news for sophomores, Knox said, we have sophomores already here and incoming freshmen who have signed their letter of intent. We'll take our lead from the NCAA and the NJCAA. So many of our scholarships are already promised for next year for incoming freshmen, Knox added. The NCAA and NJCAA are looking at scholarship increases as well as roster increases. Much like high school seniors moving into the NCAA, we have kind of the same population of athletes looking to move on to a four-year school. Knox said the premature end to the season has been pretty shocking. There's kind of a feeling of, what now, he said. As much as you can understand that everybody is in danger and hopefully we're doing the right thing and it's safety first, in the back of everybody's mind is, what now? Next, we have planning pushes on. Restrictions aside, Mueller sets out to retool the Redbirds by Jim Benson. The world has basically turned upside down since March 5th when Illinois State's basketball team ended a 10-21 season with a 75-65 loss to Drake in a Missouri Valley Conference tournament play-in game. Redbird head coach Dan Mueller and his staff are confined to staying at home as the NCAA mandated a dead period for in-person recruiting until at least April 15th because of the coronavirus outbreak. Mueller was supposed to meet with his team Sunday night as they returned from spring break. Workout and weightlifting schedules would have been set. Individual meetings with players would have followed this week. None of that will be happening as schools across the country sort out the ramifications of students being off campus for an undetermined length of time. Yet that doesn't mean the planning for the 2020-21 season stops. Quite the contrary. Sitting in his Redbird Arena office on Monday morning, Mueller knows this season, the school's first 20-loss campaign in 17 years, left many longtime fans frustrated. As I evaluate the season, but more importantly, where the program is at, no one is more disappointed about the record we had this year than me. That's my job, he said. However, with junior forward Keith Fisher III and freshman guards DJ Horn and Antonio Reeves leading the returnees along with what appears to be a promising recruiting class, Muller believes better days are ahead. As you evaluate, our culture is good. The guys were great off the court. They played hard. They were coachable, he said. When it comes down to having the depth we need, developing guys, and putting them in the right position. A year earlier, after a season that started with Missouri Valley Conference championship hopes and ended 17-16, Muller vowed to restore the toughness and competitiveness and effort of his program. To a degree, that was accomplished. Ultimately, though, turnovers and lack of depth that had become apparent with some key injuries sent this season into a tailspin from which ISU couldn't recover. ISU finished 287th out of 350 Division I teams in turnovers with 14 per game, including 12 games with 16 or more. That was often the difference in the 11 games decided by 6 points or less where the Redbirds went 4-7. Redshirt sophomore forward Taylor Bruninga played in only 15 games and averaged 11 minutes because of left foot trouble that has plagued him for 2 seasons. Matt Chastain, a redshirt junior wing from Leroy, missed the first 2 games with a broken hand and later needed arthroscopic knee surgery that shelved him for 10 games. Dedrick Boyd, a redshirt sophomore guard, was starting to regain his form late in the season before a bone bruise on his knee put him out 4 games. Going into next year, I have to do a better job with the roster to have quality depth if we have injuries, said Muller, who has 4 years left on the 7-year contract he signed after ISU shared the MVC regular season title in 2017. Horn, at 8 points per game, and Reeves, with 7, played heavy minutes in their first season and more than held their own. Horn made the MVC all-freshman team while Reeves was on the MVC all-bench team. Fisher had his struggles much of the season, but the 6'8" transfer from San Jose State came on strong in the last month, averaging 13 points and almost 7 rebounds in the final 10 games. There's not all these drastic changes we need to have, and not the same as last year when we had a violation of our culture, I thought, said Muller. What Muller knows must change is taking care of the ball and defensively guarding the ball. Opponents shot 44% from the field and scored 70 points, which ranked numbers 7 and 8 in the Valley, respectively. We probably had too many guys in decision-making positions this year offensively. Some of our better players were high turnover guys, said Muller. The main issue we had offensively was our turnovers. You look when the opponents had big runs, I would say 80% of the time it was because of mass turnovers by our team. We have to evaluate offensively what we're doing. We'll have a lot of new guys next year. The personnel and skill sets will be different. Muller blames himself defensively for trying to do too many things early, such as full court pressure. The Redbirds didn't mix up defenses much between man and zone like they've done in recent seasons until the last month. ISU signed 4 players in the fall signing period. 3 are high school seniors, 6'9 forward Alston Andrews of Oak Sea High School near Orlando, Florida, 6'6 wing Eamon Washington of South Cobb High School in the Atlanta suburb of Austell, Georgia, and 6'5 point guard Howard Fleming Jr. of Male High School in Louisville, Kentucky. The other is 6'2 guard Josiah Strong of Iowa Western Community College. The Redbirds also got a commitment last week from Alex Kotov, a 6'10 forward from Moscow, Russia, who is at Daytona State College in Florida, and will have 3 years of eligibility after suffering a broken pinky finger in the 2nd game of this season. I couldn't be more excited about who we have coming in next year, said Muller. There will be some new faces, certainly, and some really talented guys will be on the team next year with great depth. Kotov's commitment puts the Redbirds 1 over the NCAA scholarship limit of 13. Mueller didn't want to discuss what possible returnees might not be on the roster next season until he has a chance to have meetings with the players either in person or through an online video chat. Having the same assistants in place next season would be the first in Mueller's 9 years as his alma mater's head coach. Many past Mueller assistants have moved on as high major assistants or head coaches, Dana Ford and Brian Penny Collins at Tennessee State. Brian Reese is finishing his 4th year as an ISU assistant. Brian Jones was in his 1st year as the Redbird associate head coach, while Marcus Belcher also was a 1st year assistant. I love having staff continuity, but I have said many times, if one of these guys has a chance to get a job that will advance their careers, I will help them, said Mueller. I think that's part of my job, is to help advance the careers of my assistants and also help our players grow. But it will be really nice to have the same staff, training, planning, what game day looks like, what kind of players we're recruiting that fit me. The most important thing you can have in any program is your staff. We continue with SLIAC ruling ends Eureka College seasons. Eureka College athletics are finished for the year after the President Council of the St. Louis Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, SLIAC, on Monday voted to cancel all spring athletic competitions and championships because of concerns over the coronavirus outbreak. The league said several options were discussed during a teleconference, but that it was determined the decision to cancel was in the best interests of institutional and student athlete health and safety. The SLIAC statement also said information and recommendations from national health organizations, as well as the national, regional, and local medical communities, were discussed in the process of making this difficult decision. The SLIAC decision to cancel falls in line with last week's decision by the NCAA to cancel all 2020 spring sports championships. The cancellation ends the season for baseball, men's and women's golf, softball, men's and women's tennis, and men's and women's outdoor track and field. The league said all results and statistics for teams that have already played in competitions this spring will remain and be officially recorded by the NCAA and the SLIAC. The Division III management team of the NCAA, during a meeting last week, passed an immediate exemption to allow all 2020 Division III spring sport student athletes the opportunity for an additional year of eligibility within their respective sport, should they so choose. The SLIAC said all decisions concerning in-person student athlete recruitment as well as allowable institutional athletic activities will be determined autonomously by its member schools. CS8 coaches select Wood as top player. Senior guard Alex Wood of University High School has been voted the Player of the Year on the Central State 8 Boys Basketball All-Conference team as voted by the league coaches. Wood was a first-team pick for the 3rd straight year after the Pioneers won their first Central State 8 championship with a 16-2 league record. Wood was named a first-team Class 2A All-State pick last week by the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association and was a second-team choice by the Associated Press. He was joined on the All-Conference first team by fellow U-High seniors Drew Wollenschlager and Logan Christensen. Wollenschlager had been a special mention pick last year. U-High was the only school with 3 players on the 12-man first team. Price makes first team. U-High senior Chelsea Price was his first team selection on the Central State 8 girls basketball all-conference team. Price led the Pioneers to an 11-7 league mark, good for a tie for 4th place. League champion Decatur MacArthur and Class 3A state qualifier Springfield Lamphere each had 2 players named to the best team. Titans Murphy best earned CCIW honors. Illinois Wesleyan's Patrick Murphy was selected as a College Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin's Men's Lacrosse Player of the Week on Monday. Murphy, a senior, helped lead the Titans to a 13-12 win at Washington College. He had two ground balls in the win, but also played every man down situation and took every faceoff wing against the Shoremen. Illinois Wesleyan's Amanda Best was tabbed a CCIW Player of the Week for women's lacrosse. Best, a senior midfielder, closed out the 2020 season in a pair of contests on the East Coast last week. She finished with an assist and one caused turnover against Westfield State and had a ground ball and one caused turnover against Nazareth. In both games, Best was matched up against the opposition's top offensive player. Now we'll read something from the major... We return to the front page with national news. Major aid bill in works in D.C. With an urgency unseen since the Great Recession, Congress is rushing to develop a sweeping economic lifeline for American households and businesses suddenly capsized by the coronavirus outbreak. Democrats said at least $750 billion would be needed. We will need big, bold, urgent federal action to deal with this crisis, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said on Monday. Republicans, often reluctant to spend federal dollars, did not flinch at the head-spinning number as a roster of America's big and small industries, airlines, hotels, retailers, lined up for aid. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he wants a comprehensive approach with a significant step for the economy, particularly Main Street businesses. He opened the Senate on Monday with a message to Americans. The Senate stands with you. The rush to inject cash and resources into the economy is an effort unlike any since the 2008 economic crisis, with political and economic interventions and eye-popping sums to try to protect Americans from the health and financial fallout. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican from Utah, called for sending $1,000 to every American. The number of infections in the United States climbed to nearly 4,500, with at least 81 deaths, two-thirds of them in hard-hit Washington state. Worldwide, more than 7,100 have died. Senators returned to an empty-out U.S. Capitol, clear of tourists or colleagues from the House, to confront an even more dire situation than the one they left for a long weekend before Trump declared a national emergency. Pending is the House passed aid package approved early Saturday with sick pay, free testing, and emergency food that is endorsed by President Donald Trump and ready to become law. But if it's stalled for now, as the Senate waits on the House for technical corrections while navigating its own problems, as some Republican senators panning the package want changes. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who negotiated the package with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, arrived late Monday on Capitol Hill to confer with Senate GOP leaders, saying they were trying to fix the hang-up and turn to next steps. "We've got a lot of work to do from here," Mnuchin told reporters. All sides, the House, Senate, and White House agree the pending bill is not the last and not nearly enough to handle what's coming. At the start of the month, Congress approved $8.3 billion in initial aid. Trump quickly signed into law the measure, which provided federal agencies monies for vaccines, tests, and potential treatments, and funding to help state and local governments respond to the threat. Schumer floated the Democrats' proposal for at least $750 billion to boost hospital capacity, unemployment insurance, and other direct aid for American households, businesses, and the healthcare industry. Republican senators conferred privately over their priorities. Also on Monday, the White House released a series of sweeping guidelines that for the next 15 days will temporarily rewrite the norms of American society. Trump urged all older Americans to stay home and everyone to avoid crowds and eating out at restaurants. The president, for the first time, acknowledged that the pandemic may send the economy into a recession and suggested that the nation may be dealing with the virus until July or August. The guidelines were released to an uneasy country. The stock market had its worst day since 1987. America's largest school system shut its doors, and questions remained about the administration's ability to test for the virus and provide hospital space for those who fall ill. Among the new recommendations, over the next half month, Americans should not gather in groups of more than 10 people. Schooling should be at home, and discretionary travel and social visits should be avoided. If anyone in a household tests positive for the virus, everyone who lives there should stay home. The administration did not say how old people should be to follow the advice to stay home. "We will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus," Trump said. "We can turn the corner and turn it quickly." The president, when asked when the pandemic would subside, said that if we do a really good job, the crisis could pass by the height of summer. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the administration's infectious disease expert, did not challenge that claim. Trump's prediction was far less optimistic than his earlier ones when he insisted it could be over in weeks. He also acknowledged that the virus may send the nation's economy into a recession, a potentially brutal blow for an incumbent in an election year. For most people, the new coronavirus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as a fever and a cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. The vast majority of people recover. According to the World Health Organization, people with mild illness recover in about 2 weeks, while those with more severe illness may take 3 to 6 weeks to recover. On the front page, there was an editorial entitled, "Be Good to One Another Amid Crisis." One of the maddening aspects of our unbelievable current world, social and medical situation is how difficult it is to do the right thing. In addition, even doing the right thing can end up being correct but not beneficial in any way. We unquestionably understand the anger of restaurant and bar owners being told they're temporarily out of business because the governor says so. In a macro sense, that's a significant chunk of our economy that's being put on indefinite pause. In a micro sense, there are people with overdue bills and not much food in the house. We also acknowledge that Governor J.B. Pritzker isn't operating in a bubble. Every person who's making a decision regarding the virus is relying on input from the collective knowledge. Schools haven't been closed to punish parents. They've been closed in hope that they'll prevent a petri dish spread of coronavirus speeding through communities. Decisions to reduce the allowable size of gatherings were not made to punish theaters and venues that attract significant numbers of people. Pritzker is also certainly aware of the number of voters who will remember this. We've yet to abandon the concept of better safe than sorry. That's a good concept. It keeps us from shoveling snow in our bare feet or driving at night with our lights off. If applied logically and thoroughly, it's going to keep more people from having to fight for room in a hospital. Remember, that's the prime reason for the sacrifices being made. The reward for doing this well is we get to continue to be a society. There are puzzling possibilities ahead. In the immediate future, which restaurants and bars will carry through on promises that they will stay open? Will there be some kind of punishment, and what form will that take? Who among us would go to an establishment ignoring Pritzker's edict? We have never been in a situation like this before. We all have to understand there are going to be sacrifices, large and small. But here's a suggestion. Take care of one another. This is a test of how much we can care about each other. We're so good about it when we're called on. If we can extend our kindnesses to one another through the spring, we'll again show the best parts of ourselves. Be good to one another. That completes our reading of the Pantograph for March 17th, 2020. Have a good day and thank you.